Hi, this is Tim Freund with Dilbeck Estates and Christie's International Real Estate. Thanks so much for tuning in, sharing your time with me. I want to first begin by giving a shout out and props and great big thank you, God bless you, to our medical personnel, our first responders, because you're saving us again. And, you know, I know it comes at great stress and sacrifice for you and your families. And, you know, as one family to another, my family appreciates you and just wanted to give you that props. So the County Line Gazette is my quarterly newsletter that I put out. I've been doing it for about 16 years. This is issue 42, and I'm going to give you a slight recap of it. In the last issue, which was issue 41, of course, I said that the market was difficult to read, that my best guess was that sellers were a little too optimistic about the value of their properties, and I thought the buyers were pushing back. Then the year started off strong. 2020 started off strong, and prices were actually moving higher. That is, of course, until the virus hit. Now, inventory had been in decline in January, which is really uncommon. In fact, we hadn't seen that since 2013. Typically, the lowest inventory of the year is January 2nd, and it progressively increases into the spring market as there's more and more buyers and there's more and more sellers, etc. This was not happening in January 2020. In fact, there were fewer homes at the end of January for sale than there were at the beginning of January. And again, we hadn't seen that since 2013, and prices spiked in 2013. That was really the big ramp up from the big financial crisis and the Great Recession. To give you some numbers, so currently, had we been on pace, we would be in somewhere in the mid threes or so. That's where we were at in total number of homes for sale in the Canal Valley. But obviously, there's been a precipitous drop since the virus. So today, 394 active listings of single-family homes, condominiums, estate properties, horse properties at all here in the Conejo Valley. There were 263 homes in escrow last month. That was up from 211 the month before, which is typical. You see more homes come on the market. You see more homes go into escrow. But they were, with the lower inventory, that meant basically that we're selling more homes than we were actually putting on the market. That's why the inventory was in decline, which is crazy. Now, the virus comes, and we went from 263 homes under contract down to 123. That is a 55% decline. Let that sink in for a second. A 55% decline in pending home sales. Now, the National Association of Realtors just came out with their data for April, and they said that the number in the West, which is California, Arizona, etc., Washington, was 26%. There was a 26% decline. All I can tell you is this. I track the numbers every month for our community. I know how many homes are in escrow, how many homes are on the market, and any given day, I'm following this data. Our data says 55% decline. Now, maybe it's different in LA proper, but for the county line, this area of the Conejo Valley, it's down 55%. That's really substantial. And it's going to have a big effect. Now, many of you know I have a blog called the realestateconversation.com, and I've been getting letters from people, emails from people telling me that the market's going to crash, that the market's going to drop 30%, some people even say 50%, and oh, by the way, they're buyers when that happens. Well, maybe that's going to happen, or maybe that's just wishful thinking, but it is no coincidence that the people of that opinion, generally speaking, see themselves as buyers when that happens. In other words, if we have a repeat of 2008, by George, I'm going to be a buyer this time. And I don't blame people for hoping that's what happens. If they're in the market for a house, that's what they want to happen. Obviously, if you're a seller or a bank, you certainly don't want that to happen. Is that what's going to happen? Are we going to see a huge drop in property values and a huge onslaught of foreclosures like we did in 2008? And I'm here to suggest to you that no, that is not what is going to happen. Now, will there be a softening of prices? Yeah, probably. I mean, if you had to bet, you'd have to say odds are we're going to see some impact of one in four people being unemployed, and there's going to be some impact on property values. And the property values could soften a little bit. Obviously, demand is the name of the game in a declining market. And if demand is not strong enough to meet the increasing supply, then you're going to have softness of prices. And buyers believe that that prices are going to drop. Buyers aren't going to buy. That's going to shrink demand in the face of an increasing supply. There you get softening of prices. So buyers can dictate the decline, should that be their intent. On the other hand, of course, if buyers want to buy and there's a shortage of inventory, that's going to push prices higher because buyers want to buy and there's a shortage of inventory. Supply and demand now favors the suppliers. So the question comes back to, well, what's going to affect our supply? Are we going to see a large increase in foreclosures? And I would suggest to you that the answer is no. Let me tell you why I feel that way. First and foremost is equity. Equity. In 2008, you had two things happening. You had one, those easy loans, which artificially propped up demand with buyers who really weren't qualified to purchase. That made the prices rise, increase in demand against the supply, prices rise to meet demand. And those people really shouldn't have been buying. They weren't qualified. So it was artificial. Also, and more importantly, you had no equity because you had zero down loans. You had no credit qualifiers. You had 81st and 20 seconds and sometimes even greater than 20 seconds where people are buying furniture and doing things. So people were upside down almost from the get-go. And now you fast forward to a declining or a recessed economy and people are pouring money into a home that's now worth 10, 20, 30% below what they paid for it. You know, at some point they go, this is stupid. I'm not going to keep pouring money into a black hole. I'm going to take my money. I'm going to go rent. I'm going to give the house back to the bank. And that's that. And that's why the banks ended up with so many foreclosures, because people didn't have any equity to begin with. $3 trillion. That's the number that was estimated before the virus. $3 trillion was the amount of equity American property owners held. $3 trillion in equity. That is not nothing. And where this is different from 2008 is that in 2008, when you had nothing, it's easy to walk away. When you have equity, you don't walk away. If you've lost your job and you can't afford your home anymore, you don't just walk away from $50, $100, $200, half $1 million in equity. No, what you do is you sell. And that's what I predict will happen. Now, if there's enough sellers because of the economy and not enough buyers, you're going to see a softening of prices. But you're not seeing people walk away from six figures of equity. It's just that that's stupid. Nobody's going to do that. And that's not what's going to happen. That's number one, and that's a biggie. Number two is you have the banks. The banks don't want to see a repeat of that. Remember, the real estate is the collateral that supports the loan that either the bank is holding, servicing, or is sold to somebody else. And so they don't want their collateral to decline in value, and they know that by doing en masse foreclosures, they're going to have a decline in value. So they don't want that. That affects their loans. That affects their viability. Not to mention it's terrible press and terrible PR, and people hated them. So, in fact, they still may hate them as a result. But in any event, that's number two. Number three is you have the federal government. They're pouring trillions of dollars into the economy. I think many people will point to 2008 when Lehman Brothers collapsed, that the government let that happen, and in hindsight, that was a mistake because it created a panic. And then we ended up with too big to fail, and all of this, you know, government bailout, and you know, billions of dollars going into these corporations, and you know, we took ownership and parts, and you know, all of that stuff. And while it was profitable for the United States in the long run, it was not the best thing for most Americans. And as a result, I don't think that's going to happen because they're pouring a ton of money in. They're backstopping the banks. They're supporting small businesses with the payroll protection program. They're making SBA loans, at least in theory. And so they're doing a lot of things to help prop the economy to prevent the kind of economic situation that is going to lead to mass foreclosures. So for those reasons, I think it's really important that you understand that the supply side is not going to be like it was at the end of the aughts, okay? Now, you have the demand side to talk about. And I've been writing for years about the demographics and specifically about the millennials. Now, before I go to the millennials, I want to just touch base with the seniors because there's two things about that. One I'm going to come back to, but one I want to bring up front, which is that baby boomers have been aging in place. A lot of the seniors have been aging in place. They want to stay in their home longer. They're not racing out into retirement communities. They can't find one stories they like as much as their home or any at all, for that matter, in California. So they're not moving. So that's put a tight constraint on supply. Normally, people would stay in their home 5 to 7 years, and now it's like 10 to 14. I mean, people just aren't selling their homes. So that makes supply tight. Now back to the demographics of the millennials. Take my kids, for example. My son is 26 and a half, and my daughter is 29, and they're, God bless them, they're brilliant. They're in graduate school. They're scientists. They're going to do great things. I love you, kids. I'm proud of you. But they're 26 and 29, and they are nowhere near buying a home, which means that in 5, 7, 10 years, maybe they're buying a home. What that means is the millennial generation, remember, if you recall, is the largest in population of any generation in American history, larger than the baby boomers. Most people don't realize that, but the millennials, actually, because of immigration and other things, millennials are actually the largest generation on record. Now, baby boomers were the largest percentage change from the previous generation, which was why it was so impactful. They went from this smaller number to all of a sudden people were having tons of kids after the war, and there was this huge boom of families. But there are more millennials than there are baby boomers, and those millennials are only now starting household formation. They're 35, they're 37, they have a couple of kids, they're just now getting ready to or getting married, and they're just buying their first home at these later ages, which means that, take my son, for example, at 26, he may not be buying a home for 10 years. It may even be a little bit longer than that by the time he saves enough money for a down payment. So it's down the road, there's still this high level of demand. So here we have this constrained supply, and you have this booming demand, okay? And I'm not talking just this event right now with the virus. I'm talking about a decade from now. And finally, I want to do come back to the seniors because there's another phenomenon that I think is going to be a condition that grows out of the virus, and that is there's been seniors who have said, you know, I've got my house, I've got my equity, you know, I want to travel. I'm going to go into an assisted care facility. Maybe there's some things there that, you know, I'm looking for that they can take care of, you know, my spouse who's a little older than me or whatever it might be. And we'll just go in there and we don't have to worry about foods and there's activities and it's going to be great. Seniors out there, raise your hand if you're racing out to go to a assisted care facility right now. Yeah, that would be not so much, right? Because it's like a death sentence, okay? So how many people are going to do that? That would be none. So now you have a certain element of that senior population, which was already aging in place, also saying, you know what? I'm going to age longer. I'm going to hold out for as long as possible before I go into an assisted care facility. That will do what? That will only further constrain supply. So for all of these reasons, I don't think that the market is going to collapse. I do foresee a probability that we're going to see some softening in prices as things are going sideways until we get through this, come out the other side, and start to get it back on our footing. But in the meantime, I think real estate has never been more important. You want to have your house. You want to be sheltered in place in your home. You want to have a nice, comfortable place. And those are going to be the people who say, you know what, I got to move because my place sucks. Call Tim and find me a new home, sell my home, and let's get going. Anyway, you can find me on the web, ThousandOaksRealEstate.com. That's 1,000 the number. You can also DM me through social, Instagram, Facebook. You can find me on LinkedIn, Twitter, etc. Please reach out. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact us as well. And also look to my blog, TheRealEstateConversation.com, for more on this. So this was Chapter 1. Episode 1 of the County Line Gazette, number 42. Come back again and hear the next part where we talk about some interesting changes in housing for seniors as well as some opportunities for some new lifestyles, some new trends in building. Thanks so much, and I look forward to hearing from you soon.